behind the woodshed with Hal Anthony, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work. We have It's All Connected with Grimner and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Free your mind with Grimner and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimner. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. A Ponder Gander with Vin E. To Think and Reason, Raising Expectations Through Thought-Provoking Episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. Grimner broadcasts the Sunday Blues Show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Papa Chubby, and Samantha Fish. And all of this stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bock Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, Cream, etc. And while he is playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media Chat playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. There's also a top 10 countdown where Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us. Get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork, and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. Invite people to join us in the chat room. Come to Real Liberty Media. Join us in the chat room. Chat with people there. Man, you will learn so much stuff just as I have. People there are pretty knowledgeable and very connected to find good information and share it with you. And along those lines, this week, I wanted to say, it's kind of funny. I always wonder, what am I going to talk about this week on the show? And of course, all week long, I gather information. And today I was just thinking, man, I have a ton of stuff to cover. And that means only one thing, and that is this. It's kind of like my sex life. At least one of us is going to be having fun. So on with this show. I was thinking, I'm pretty sure I've said months ago, at least in the last 2 months, I said I was going to quit talking about COVID. I think I was trying to put a nail in the coffin. But you know what? I've changed my tune, and there's a reason for that. And that's this. More and more people are gaining the knowledge they need to be informed about COVID. And more people are getting out there. And the word is getting out to more and more people. So I am going to keep talking about it. I'm going to keep getting information out there that I think is good for people. And I don't mean the normal propaganda that you see on mainstream media every day, on your local news every day. I don't know about how it is all over the country, but I can tell you this, is just here in, where I am in Oregon, you might get like one little sound bite of somebody saying that they don't want to get the vaccine and barely get the opportunity to explain why. And then, of course, you're bombarded by the local health officials and national health officials and state health officials telling you why you have to get it. And they put medical doctors on telling you why you should get it, and social workers on telling you why you should get the jab. But,
behind the scenes here, you know, where you have to go search for the truth, search for real information, you're not going to find people telling you to go get the jab. You'll probably find a lot of people telling you not to. I am not going to do either. I think that that's a personal choice you have to make on your own. But I am going to provide logical information, data, supported data, not just emotional stories, which I'm going to share a couple of those today, just to point out the hypocrisy in those stories. And I think one or two of those I got from, you know, people in the chat room here at Real Liberty Media. So be sure and spend some time over there, you know, just introduce yourself and, you know, and ask some questions or just read the chat for a while. You'll see, man, people post links there all the time. And they're not links you're going to find every day in your Google feed. I can guarantee you that. They're links that people actually go search for, you know, information from independent news sources and others who are, I think, being logical about the approach to COVID and the COVID vaccine. You know, I've been talking for weeks about putting stuff up on Rumble and doing some short videos for Real Liberty Media and the Redneck Dentist, of course, promote myself a little bit. And I've been messing around with OBS, the streaming software for video creators, I guess. And I think I'm there. I think, in fact, I almost did a little promotion of this show and posted it, but, you know, I was screwing around. So, but I think tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to get that drone video up, finished editing that yesterday. I'm going to put that up on Rumble, and I'm going to put a quick blurb up there on Rumble. And then wherever else we can post it, we'll post it, where we won't get kicked off, because I can guarantee you I wouldn't last very long on YouTube. That'd be kind of fun to get kicked off of YouTube. You know, if you've checked out my channel on YouTube, it's from years past. I mean, long time ago. At least 7-8 years ago when I was doing a homestead show. And I actually had videos up there of my goats giving birth and stuff like that. It was a pretty fun show. But I'll tell you, I still really have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm learning, so should be fun. Today on the homestead, we have no idea what we're going to eat today. I'm telling you, the heat has been crazy lately. They call it a heat wave. I thought heat waves were like more intense, and I'm not saying this isn't intense. For Oregon, it's been really intense. You know, because we don't really get into the 90s very often, and especially in the hundreds is pretty damn rare. But this year, it's like, I think this is the third, what they consider a heat wave, is above 90 degrees for more than one day. I think it's 2 or 3 days, something like that. But anyway, so we really haven't given much thought to what we're going to do to what we're going to have for dinner. Usually, I already have the grill going, you know, and I'm smoking some kind of meat for dinner, but today, I don't know, we're taking it easy today, kicking back. So, on with the other stuff. I don't know if I mentioned this, but totally Linux today, not on Windows, not using Windows. I feel that those days are coming to an end. I haven't solved the jack problem yet, which is kind of funny, because I know that somebody wrote that program and they intended it to be used to do what I want it to do. It's just that there's not enough information out there. There's not good tutorials out there. There's not good documentation out there. And the operator isn't an expert. So, you know, I have to like fuss around with it so much. I do have Jack working, but as far as getting programs to use it and do what I want it to do, kind of difficult. Anyway, so when I post to Rumble, I would really appreciate it if you guys would go check it out and just give me some constructive and critical feedback about, you know, lighting, frame rate, video, audio quality. I had to you know, kind of had to do my own graphics a bit. And, you know, none of this stuff is, like, native to me. It's all kind of foreign to me. So, but it's also kind of fun. I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I'm one of these people that has to frickin' master whatever it is I'm doing. So when I start something new, I want to do it until I've got it all figured out. Kind of like the Linux gaming thing, man. I've worked on that for years on and off, and I wasn't very satisfied. And now it's like, oh, baby, it's on. In fact, I'm actually thinking about figuring out how to stream gameplay so I could put real short videos up. I'm not going to be, you know, it's just going to be for fun, just to see how those guys do it. And I know it can be done, and it's not that difficult. Anyway, and it's fun. You know, I really try in my life to have fun no matter what it is I'm doing. Even if I'm doing something that's horrible, like the whole septic system thing and the well failure thing and, you know, all that stuff that I've had in the last couple months, I still pretty much want to have a good time. So I'm always doing stuff that at least I think is pretty fun. But here we go. Because there is some crazy crap going on in the world today. Let me make sure I covered all the little stuff. Yep. All the little stuff is out of the way. Okay. So the crazy stuff going on in the world today. We're going to go through this. And the reason I'm going to point out some of this stuff is because I have... Let me see what exactly I titled it. I thought it was pretty good. So... Oh, yeah, and I have a really... Okay, I have the simple logic considering COVID. We're going to get to that in about probably 10, 15 minutes. But I want to kind of cover some of the stories that led me to do this again and to continue doing it. So, I don't know, you're probably as tired of hearing about COVID as I am. But like I said, I think we're making a difference. I think people are looking for information. I shouldn't say this really, but I'm going to. I had a patient come in this week. I've kind of known the guy, not more than being a patient, but we've had kind of conversations about stuff. So a little history about the guy. And not breaking any HIPAA rules, because there's plenty of guys like this guy in this area. But basically, he is a grower in the area, a commercial grower. He's good at what he does. And by grower, I mean marijuana, of course. So he and I have had pretty good conversations about, you know, cannabis. It's kind of surprising. He's not a user, but he's a grower. And it doesn't make sense to me. It's such a great plant and has so many medicinal properties and benefits that I just can't understand why he doesn't use it. But anyway, he's a grower. We've had plenty of conversations, and so I was, you know, when you come in to see the dentist today, you have to fill out all kinds of paperwork. I swear to God, the paperwork is, like, ridiculous. And one of the forms is this COVID check-in form. And on that form, you know, all these questions, and the last two questions are, did you get, you know, have you received the vaccine? And he wrote next to those two questions, not yet. And when I came in to see him, you know, I said, hey, and his name, which I'll leave out. And I was looking over the paperwork because, of course, I got to sign every single frickin' paper that's filled out. And I saw his answer, and I just held the clipboard up to him, and I pointed at it, and I said, I wouldn't. And that's the only person I've tried to influence one way or the other. Even... my wife, who, she's an adult, she can make her own decisions. She looks to me for information, but she's still going to make her own decision one way or the other about getting a vaccine. But he's the only guy I actually have just said I would do that, you know. So he said, you know, COVID vaccine, not yet. And I said I wouldn't. I don't know how I felt about that. I guess mainly the kind of stuff I'm going to go over today maybe influenced me to lean that way, but yeah, he's the only guy I actually said, no, I wouldn't do it. So, and he was kind of surprised. He said, man, I'm really surprised hearing that from you. But he said, thank you very much. And, you know, he's a young guy. Probably doesn't have anything to worry about. But, you know, I got some stories here today. I guess, you know, if you get real emotional about this, I guess, you know, it could sway your opinion. And we'll get to that. We'll get to those stories in just a minute. But the first couple of things I wanted to cover was the CDC and the FDA faked COVID testing protocol by using human cells mixed with common cold virus fragments. And, of course, the PCR test picks up on the common cold virus, which is a COVID virus. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure what the reason that the government is pushing this jab so hard for, you know, offering people millions of dollars to get the jab. And you're going to see when I cover this, you know, simple approach to COVID and the COVID vaccine here in a few minutes, you're going to see that it really doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so right off the bat, you know, we have a testing procedure that's been faked, so it's not even a good test. And then I have a link to the CDC's actual report, so you'll be able to go actually directly to the report, and I have the source where I got the information from, and you'll be able to see it. Somebody in the chat room posted a picture, and I couldn't find the source of this picture. So I'm not 100% sure if it's accurate or not, but here's the statistics on the image. And I actually included the image in the show notes, so when you look at the show notes for this show, you're going to be able to see it. It says CDC: 11,940 dead, 618,648 injuries following COVID-19 injections, 1,175 unborn babies dead, which, of course, government doesn't care about that. They'll tell you they do, and they'll use children as a way of twisting your arm, but they don't really care. They don't. And, it says 1,175 unborn babies dead following COVID-19 shots through July 23rd, 2021. So just less than a month ago. I couldn't verify that. I be honest with you, I didn't really go out of my way to hunt down those numbers, but there's plenty of support for this kind of thing. I mean, you can find this stuff every day if you go look, but the mainstream media isn't gonna talk about it. As a matter of fact, I have a great story I want to share with you. This is my heartless moment of the week, okay? I know a couple weeks ago I talked about compassion and whether I think I was having a moment about a dog that I saw hit on the side of the road with a collar, and I felt kind of bad, but I just went through this kind of range of emotions where, like, I didn't really give a crap, and I thought that was kind of cold-blooded. Now, here I'm admitting, this is my heartless moment of the week. So, you're going to see a link in the show notes to this story: fully vaccinated dad / doctor dies of COVID. Daughter pleads with everyone to get the vaccine. Now, I hope you didn't miss the critical words here. Fully vaccinated dad / doctor dies of COVID. Daughter pleads with everyone to get the vaccine. And in that it says, but while the available vaccines have all been extremely effective, there have been breakthrough cases where the virus still found its way into vaccinated people. Tanya's father was one of them. Dr. Kerry Washington, 80 years old, got sick in March, about 2 months after getting his vaccine. I was head to toe. Now listen to this. This is her speaking. I was in head to toe personal protective equipment, and that's how I said goodbye to my dad. And I held my dad's hand as he took his last breath, she said. So many people want to go back to normal, They want their normal back. I will never get my normal back. I will never get over the trauma of losing my father this way. And I had to wonder, I'm pretty sure, although I'm making an assumption here, that they were both fully vaccinated. And I'm pretty sure that the entire staff at the hospital was probably fully vaccinated. And even if not, if the hospital staff is wearing their PPEs, why would father and daughter be wearing PPE when he's dying of COVID and they've both been vaccinated? And what did the vaccine do in this case? I mean, we keep hearing how it protects you from more severe disease. We hear it lessens the ability to transmit the disease, and we hear that you are less likely to die. But, I mean, here is the very story that pretty much puts all of that stuff to sleep. None of that stuff worked for this doc. 80 years old, maybe a problem. I don't know if he had other underlying health conditions, but it kind of bums me out because it makes me... So this daughter went on to plead with people to get the vaccine. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you do that? I mean, you don't even know if maybe that vaccine caused your father's death. It sure as hell didn't protect him, and yet there's another story. And this also came out of the chat room, and I couldn't believe it. And you really have to read this story. Fully vaccinated man dies of COVID-19. Doctors claim it would have been worse had he not been vaxxed. I mean, how does it get worse than dead? You know, and how do you make that argument? It would have been worse if he hadn't got the vaccine. What, I mean, I don't know. And you can't, I mean, you literally can't make this stuff up. This stuff is coming right off the presses. Oh my God. And kind of along, I wanted to read a little bit. No, that is for later. That's for after this. I did want to say one other thing, that there's no gold standard for virus isolation, which is kind of interesting. And all of this stuff is leading up to my big topic of the day. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures of the people coming across the southern border into the United States and how packed they are down there. I guess we heard from I didn't put this in my notes, but was it Health and Human Services guy who said, yeah, we're going to lose this battle. He was caught off, shouldn't have been on mic. Like he was saying something, you know, off mic and somebody recorded it. And he said, yeah, we're losing. We can't keep this up. And you look at the people that are stacked like sardines in these camps. And then they're just shipping them out. They're not making any of those people get the vaccine. I mean, truly, if the vaccine was so important, if it actually did everything that they said it would do, why wouldn't they vaccinate these people before they turn them loose on the U.S. population? There's something seriously wrong with logic in this whole entire operation. The immigration operation and the COVID operation make absolutely zero sense. I guess one way or another, they're expecting a bunch of us to die, and I'm fairly certain that's going to happen. I just don't know by what, the jab or the virus, one of the two. But if getting the jab was so important, wouldn't you think that would be like a prerequisite to coming into the country or to being turned loose to the rest of the population, you know, is to vaccinate all those illegal immigrants coming across the borders? So it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you think about it, the governments, the feds, the states, the counties, the local governments are all telling you to get vaccinated. They're telling you that you're not going to be able to buy groceries if you don't get jabbed. They're telling you that you can't go to entertainment venues unless you get the jab. They're telling you that you're not going to be able to work unless you get the jab. But yet they're just turning loose all these illegals who come across the border. They're just turning them loose. They can do whatever they want. They don't have to get the jab. There's something wrong with the logic here. It makes no sense. So, pre-COVID, you remember that? I remember pre-COVID. Oh, wait, I got to back up one page here. Yeah, so there was one more story, more deaths coming. In my show notes here, we took all screenshots from Mr. Mitchell's Facebook page last week. Now, this was a guy who is so excited to get vaccinated that not only did he get the first two shots, but he went back and got another. It wasn't even a booster. I think the guy just went back to get, you know, it says a third booster shot, but I think this happened kind of before they really had boosters out there and before anybody really even said anything about lost my train of thought. Oh, before anybody else even said anything about we were going to need booster shots after the initial jabs. But anyway, but now it appears Facebook and mainstream media are trying to hide history and facts. Okay, so this, whoever did this story, they actually took pictures of Mr. Mitchell's Facebook page and all the comments that he'd written there. And then, of course, it disappeared after this happened. Mr. Mitchell is not only the first high-profile third booster shot case study, but also at least the second case of a high-profile censorship in a week. There was an uptick in traffic in our story about Atlanta News anchor Jovita Moore. That's because her former employer announced that she has aggressive brain cancer and is unlikely to ever return to the air. No mainstream media news story about Mrs. Moore mentions that she received the second Pfizer injection less than 2 weeks before falling ill. As a matter of public concern, it is the responsibility of the press to report these facts. Of course, we no longer have a free press in the United States. We have state-run media. Mr. Mitchell literally kept injecting himself until he experienced adverse effects and or died. He mentioned that they, you know, the air quotes they, recommended he get the third shot. Doctors' offices and mainstream media are two entities critical thinkers must avoid for both mental and physical health. Both are properties of the pharmaceutical industry. They also and only have their stakeholders' best interests in mind. You are only part of those best interests after adverse reactions and or death. Don't be fooled and don't be a fool. So, one other link that's going to be in this set of show notes is there's a doctor who has autopsy evidence where they actually took tissues and stained the tissues of people who died after being vaccinated. Now, what I am not saying here is that those people died because they were vaccinated. What I'm saying is this doctor received tissues or collected tissues from people who got the jab and then died for whatever reason. Car crash, illness, cancer, you know, whatever. And he goes into detail showing the different body tissues that have inflammatory response to that spike protein. And he actually showed, and this is evidence. This isn't, you know, I'm tugging on your heartstrings kind of, I'm going to convince you to do something or to feel one way or another based on emotions. I'm telling you, there are people out there who produce evidence. which you will not find coming from Fauci, which you will not find coming from the NIH or the CDC or this entire frickin' government structure we have right now. You're not going to see evidence. You're going to hear them talking about the science, which is a religion. It's not facts. It's not data. I'm going to get into this because I think I have some great points in this little editorial that are important. I think if you use a little bit of logic, you can work your way right through this with and feel completely educated, knowing that whatever decision you make, at least you'll be fully informed. So remember pre-COVID, I do, before COVID came on the scene, we had regular annual illnesses and regular deaths from, well, everything that can kill you. I distinctly remember people got sick. Some people got really sick, some not so much. Some people died from getting sick. Oftentimes, people who were slightly sick just went about life, treated their symptoms, eventually recovered and moved on. People who were sicker sometimes would go to the doctor, emergency care, urgent care, to seek some kind of relief from whatever was ailing them. Sometimes they would get medicine, sometimes not. Oftentimes they were told that the illness would have to run its course. I want to make sure I didn't miss a page here. Some people reinfected, and this actually happened to me. I remember getting the flu and recovering from it for about a week, and then I got it again. This was years ago, though. I haven't been sick in like 3 years, maybe four. Oh, God, knock on wood. Why'd I say that? Anyway, some people got reinfected or had very long courses of recovery. Sometimes prior to flu season, people would get a flu shot. Sometimes it helped, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes the shot made people sick. Sometimes it caused serious problems. And sometimes it killed them. Do you know we never have an accurate vaccine for the flu? Every year, they, try to guess what the next year's flu will look like and try to make a vaccine that will prevent it or lessen its effects. Every single year, it is a failure. We are all still encouraged to get a flu shot. Nothing is ever said about how effective it is likely to be, or after the season data generally isn't discussed about what a huge failure it was. People die due to the flu, and some die due to the vaccine. Now we enter the COVID area. So along comes COVID-19. Let's look at the similarities. Initially, people got sick. Some people had the virus and were asymptomatic. Some people had minor symptoms. They didn't even know they had COVID-19. Some people have more severe symptoms and longer courses of recovery. Some have very long courses of recovery. Some had permanent damage from being sick. Some people didn't. Some people died from their infection. Governments around the world panicked and locked down the entire world. Did it stop the spread of COVID-19? No, it didn't. Did it slow the spread of COVID-19 down? Oh, possibly. I think most real epidemiologists, we don't have one here in the state of Oregon. We actually have an epidemiologist that's a pediatrician. That's his qualifications to be the state epidemiologist, and he is a gem, by the way. I mean, I guess I could be the epidemiologist from Oregon. I should apply. Well, they wouldn't like that at all. No. I think most real epidemiologists agree that the virus is going to have to run its course eventually. Probably what had been done is simply paused the inevitable. The virus is eventually going to run its course with or without government interference. Then came the jab. Some use a new definition of vaccine to describe the jab that the world governments are demanding that all people get. The decision's not based on real science at all, but based on the new religion of science. So let's look at the results of jabbing the entire world population. Has a jab prevented the spread of COVID-19 virus? No, it continues to spread. Does the jab prevent people from getting the virus? No, it doesn't. Does a jab prevent the spread of the virus from those who have received the jab to others who have not received the jab? No, it doesn't. Does a jab prevent the spread of COVID-19 to those who have had the jab? No, it doesn't. Does a jab shorten the duration of the effects of being infected with COVID-19 virus? Well, that's an interesting question, and here's why. People react to diseases differently. Some have no symptoms. Some have mild symptoms. Some have a very short duration of illness. Some have long, drawn-out battles with the disease. So how would one determine if someone actually had a reduction in symptoms or duration, not knowing how that person would have dealt with the infection without the jab? It's impossible. Something like Schrodinger's cat. You can't know. So I hope this is a simple summary. I'm going to provide a table that is easily referenced, and I didn't. So I'll have to put that table in the show notes at some point. I could probably do it today. Tables are pretty easy to put together, I think, generally. But here's my point. The jab, I don't see that it has done anything good. I think, honestly, the only way to get past this, if this isn't a government ploy, and if this isn't biological warfare, the only way we are going to get beyond this is to let it run rampant. I've covered before what the percentage, the possibility of dying from COVID is. It's very small. That doesn't mean it's zero. People are going to die. People are going to die anyway. Yeah, more people probably will die because of COVID. But what we're doing, destroying the economies of countries, which I guess Biden obviously doesn't care about with this trillions of dollar package he's promoting and, you know, everybody's on board with. Okay, not everybody. It doesn't matter. We got to let the virus run its course. That's going to be the fastest way to get beyond this. And, you know, like I said in the beginning of this show, the reason I wanted to do this kind of simple, logical approach and takedown of COVID and the COVID vaccine, and not really a takedown, just an explanation, is because so many people are getting on board. Look how many more groups or businesses or organizations are starting to file lawsuits against the vaccine and the governments and the World Health Organization and the CDC, and, you know, actually pointing to the facts. They're not going to have any problem winning these cases, because they have evidence. They have true science. I just hope to God that still facts are important when people go to court, because that's the only way that we're actually going to, you know, win some of those lawsuits. And by then, it'll probably be too late. I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's too late. I think, you know, thank God half the population has held out getting the vaccine. And, you know, like I say or have said, I think people are looking for more information. Even some of my own family members are like, man, I just want more information about what this is going to do long term. And we don't know. We have zero idea what it's going to do long term. I guess personally, I'm hoping that it's going to disappear quickly, that vaccine thing. You know, boosters? Nope. Mm-mm. Not going to do it. You know, and if, I mean, fortunately, we could look at it this way. If we already, those people who got the vaccine, the jab, already need boosters, then pretty much maybe we're out of the woods, or we will be soon. All right, I wanted to talk about this horrible, not that that wasn't horrible enough, but this story coming out of the University of Pittsburgh, I got to tell you, man. I'll try really hard not to go total religion on you here, but some things just make me understand evil is so clearly alive in this world. I think I talked one time about the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that Barack Obama was so proud he passed. If you ever have a chance, just go ahead and either find the episode where I talked about that or look that up yourself, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. But basically, it has led to this very thing. And this kind of came out through some answers to another kind of, not really an investigation, just a questionnaire on kind of, hey, what are you doing with the money that we're sending you, University of Pittsburgh? And basically, this is it. Baby organs harvested while hearts beat. The University of Pittsburgh may have inadvertently provided more evidence this week that aborted babies may be being born alive and left to die, which we already know. Barack Obama, that's what he promoted, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, so that their organs may be used for scientific research, according to the Center for Medical Progress. The documents show that the federal government gave the University of Pittsburgh at least $2.7 million in federal tax dollars over the past 5 years to become a tissue hub for aborted baby body parts for scientific research. On Wednesday, a University of Pittsburgh spokesperson defended its practice in an interview with Fox News. However, the Center for Medical Progress said the university's statements confirm that aborted babies' hearts still are beating while their kidneys are harvested for scientific research. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that just awesome that we allow that to happen to full-term aborted babies? Pittsburgh is now admitting to the news media that the aborted babies are still alive at the time their kidneys are cut out for National Institute of Health grant money, says David DeLeon, founder and president of the Center for Medical Progress. So, damn, man. I was so shocked when I didn't think that might be happening, especially after knowing about Barack Obama's he did that when he was a senator, by the way, not when he was president. That's a little history, and for some reason I can never forget the name of that bill, and I guess mainly because it just sounds completely opposite of what it is. The Born Alive Infant Protection Act. You think these babies are going to be protected, but they're not. They're only, I don't mean to be morbid, but this is the way it is. I like the truth to come out. The Born Alive Infant Protection Act means if that baby accidentally slips out of the birth canal while it's still alive, because what they like to do is just get the head out and then cut the spinal cord, which I guess to them, that's killing the baby. And then they deliver the baby and then they harvest the organs. Well, now, you know, Barack Obama's little, you know, law provided that if the baby slipped out alive, they could just put it in the sink or on the table or whatever until they could harvest its organs and you know, kill it in some other way. So it's not that I didn't know it was possibly still happening. It's that I probably just ignored it. But I'm always kind of glad to see when this stuff comes out again. I'm glad to see that independent news sources find this information and actually make it public so that we can kind of keep tabs on that kind of thing and try and, you know, do what we can to treat everybody humanely as possible. Although I think we're just going the, I think we're just going the other way so fast that, you know, it might not be recoverable, which is why I like to talk about being prepared. I like to talk about, you know, taking care of yourself, having a plan to survive, to get some food, to have water, to have shelter, to keep your family safe. You know, I've been following this trillions dollar bill, and I actually saw one webpage that was talking about what's in the bill, and I haven't read it yet. So I was just thinking, man, I have so much stuff. I don't know if you noticed this or saw this story. I'll make sure this is in the notes too. But hey, I have a 420 story and I'm not going to get to it. I was going to talk about the gains in wages that people have been so happy that they've gotten these raises have been completely wiped out by the inflation. So even though you're getting more money, I said you didn't really think you were getting that $15 minimum wage, did you? And then there's a story about companies big and small are raising wages to attract workers and hold on to employees as the economy revs back into gear. But those fatter paychecks aren't going as far, thanks to rising inflation. At the same time, prices are soaring. Gas costs more, food is more expensive, car prices are at a record level. The consumer price index rose from 0.9% in June and 5.4% over the past 12 months, the largest jump for each since mid-2008, according to federal data. And that's reported by CNN. Oh my God, we're just in for it, man. And I am so happy that my garden is looking good. I'm telling you, putting that deer fencing up high enough that they actually can't get over it has made such a huge difference this year that, you know, all of that food is actually going to make it to maturity, it looks like. You know, barring any disasters, I heard that Haiti had a horrific earthquake, like 7.4, and there's hundreds dead already. I just heard that like literally while I was turning on my live on-air light. My wife told me Haiti had a giant earthquake, hundreds dead. You know, and I mean, God, we have this heat wave, we have drought, there's going to be a hell of a lot less food to go around this year. I hope you guys are either making plans or taking care of yourself, you know, figuring out how to get some food. How to find food, you know, and don't think that you're going to be out killing freaking deer, because that's going to be probably the shortest supply once that happens. And, you know, you got to be able to prepare that so food. Okay, here, we got a couple minutes left. I want to go to my green story, my 420 story, because this is such a typical story of eating your own, if you know what I mean. And before I get into this, I just want to tell you, I'm 100% supporter of marijuana. I think it's one of the greatest plants ever. There's actually a book, I forget the name of it, I'm going to have to pull it out, and I'll reference it. It's sitting on a bookcase 18 feet away from me, so I can't read the title. But it lists a lot of benefits of cannabis, and as a scientist, my biological brain is saying, why do we have cannabinoid receptors if we weren't supposed to have cannabinoids in our system? So, but this story came out, and I just got to say, it's because I love hypocrisy, and I always have to be wary whenever, you know, you're getting a lot of support for something you didn't get support for before. And that is like the whole green movement, you know, getting pot legalized in all these states. You know, it's taken a long time. It's taken a long time, and we're still not there yet, but we're getting there. You know, Oregon's a great state. You know, you can have pot, you can grow pot, you can use pot. I mean, you can't really go out in public and smoke a joint or a bowl or whatever. But you know what, we're pretty accepting of the marijuana usage. But anyway, so For the record, I love pot. I am not a regular consumer, but my wife is, and a lot of my friends and family are. I think it's a great drug with lots of known yet unproven medical uses. That time will come for sure. I love the plants. They grow great, like weeds, if you let them. Oh, I know, not the plants that people grow nowadays. So many strains, so much to know. Now regulated if you want to sell to the nearest legal weed shop. I love the smell of the plants as they mature. I honestly find few other plant fragrances as pleasant, honestly. So what is the hypocrisy? Literally for decades, I have watched the weed movement and have actually supported them to legalize pot. Even when I worked in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I knew this one statistic, and that was 80% of inmates were in prison for drug crimes, and 60% of those were in prison for marijuana, which I completely could not understand because it was a frickin' plant, and unlike the poppy, marijuana, you really don't have to do a lot to use it effectively. You know, poppy, I think you have to, you know, harvest the paste and, you know, you probably have to process it all, although I really don't know about all that. But it just seems like you have to process poppy more to get opiates. Anyway, literally for decades, I have watched the weed movement and have actually supported them to legalize pot. Many times I had discussions with individuals who complained about how bad tobacco is for you and how they were glad to see smoking bans put in place. They would hardly ever accept that many, actually a few thousand carcinogens that are in tobacco are generally created whenever you burn plant material, any plant material. They always argued that pot was so much better for you though. I know it came as a bit of a letdown for some of them that even though they had legalized pot, they were under the same or stricter laws about where they could smoke compared to smokers. And now we have the next gut punch, or next punch in the gut for the green plant-loving, environmentally aware groups. Growing weed is damaging the environment. But as the popularity of cannabis has grown, so has the drug's impact on global warming. Says Politico reported. A big reason for grass's inordinate levels of energy consumption is the fact that it's grown mostly indoors with special lighting and environmental controls that consume up to 2,000 watts of electricity per square meter. I think that's hard to believe. Well, maybe not. Politico said 40 times what it takes for leafy greens like lettuce to be grown indoors. The reefer industry is responsible for more than 1% of all U.S. electricity consumption, if you believe that. Citing a research report titled Energy Use by the Indoor Cannabis Industry, Inconvenient Truths for Producers, Consumers, and Policymakers. Oh, I'm going over time. Anyway, the funny part here is, you know, like I said, they're going to eat their own. So even though they thought it was great, the air quote, they thought it was great. Hey, Cowboy Tech, I actually was thinking about this. You know, it's called weed for a reason. And I know the purists out there are going to say, like, we've grown outdoors, you know, had outdoor grows, just like, hey, put some seeds out, get some starters going in the greenhouse. Put them in the dirt, let them grow. Don't screw with them a lot. Just let nature take its course. That stuff grows great. Yeah, you got to watch out for spider mites, and you got to watch out for bugs, and you got to watch out for frickin' mold and mildew and all that stuff that you're not necessarily going to get when you do an indoor grow. But hey, 50 years ago, they would just take the stuff off the frickin' side of the road, basically. You know, where it commonly grows, not on the side of the road, but in areas where it's more natural, it just grows. You didn't have to do a whole lot to it. That's why they called it weed, because it just grew, and it still does. It does a really good job. You know, pick off the bugs. Don't smoke any that's got mildew in it. Oh, my God. Hey, you guys, thanks for the first Linux podcast here on Real Liberty Media. I mean, first for me, I'm sure everybody else uses Linux, but Got a little bit of a late start, a little bit of a hiccup there at the beginning, but that is it. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thank you.